Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It's Tuesday. I hope your week is going well, wherever you're watching or listening to this around the world. Feels a bit strange, doesn't it, this week? No midweek action for Arsenal. It's been like, basically since the last international break, it's just felt like it's been game. But now we've got a bit of a wait until Saturday. It is an early kickoff, of course, on Saturday. Arsenal versus Bournemouth. I think, I didn't double check this, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. It is the last game that Arsenal play first this season before Manchester City. So it's the last time to sort of put a little bit of pressure on Manchester City with a victory before they play. So we'll see how they handle that. But we all know it's just absolutely imperative. Win, win, win. That's all Arsenal can do in the last three games and then hope Manchester City drop points somewhere. But we've still got plenty to talk about despite the game being a few days away. Got lots of questions as always from you guys. We're going to talk about Benjamin Sesko, whose agent's been at the Emirates, posting pictures of himself at the Emirates. I've had lots of you, loads of you across my various channels sending in questions about that. So I thought I'd discuss that in today's show. Big news from the Premier League yesterday with the spending cap being agreed in principle, voted through in principle by the club. So we'll talk about that a little bit as I try and get my head around exactly what it could mean going forward for clubs, including Arsenal, of course, in the Premier League. David Raya has been speaking as well after his mistake at the weekend and his response to it. So plenty to discuss today. Well, let's start with Benjamin Sesko, shall we? Now, look, it's not a very closely guarded secret that Arsenal are on the lookout for attacking reinforcements come the summer, whether that be an out and out number nine, whether that be a wide attacker who can play up front, whether it be both, we'll have to wait and see. Lots of time to go yet until the transfer window opens, and then plenty of business to be done when it is indeed open in the summer. Sesko is a player who is on the list when it comes to Arsenal. He is a good young striker. He's not just going to be on Arsenal's list. He's going to be on pretty much every single club's list who are looking for a forward. That doesn't mean they're necessarily going to definitely bid for him, but he'll be on the list. It's just a given because he's a good young striker who's attracting lots of interest because he's scoring goals. And so clubs will be looking at him. And he has a pretty attractive release clause, which I think is going to be around sort of £43 million, which is comes into effect this summer as well. So of course Arsenal will be looking at him. That doesn't mean they're definitely going to sign him, but they're going to be looking at him. And his agent is doing the rounds at the moment. You can see here, if you're watching on YouTube, there is a picture of his agent at the Arsenal game against Chelsea recently. It's Elvis Bazanavich. And he was at the a guest of Arsenal at the club at the for the Chelsea game. Well, when I say guest of Arsenal at the club, he was at the club for watching the Chelsea game. But it's not the only team that he's watched recently. He was at Stamford Bridge fairly recently. I think he was also at a Manchester United game fairly recently. So he's going to be doing rounds. He's doing what every agent would do right now who's got a very in-demand striker who is probably going to be on the move this summer. He is going around and seeing what is out there and seeing what clubs are saying. So for all of you who have been messaging me saying, what does this mean? Is he definitely going to sign? Is this happening? And I've seen there's obviously reports that Arsenal are now going to trigger the release clause in the summer. I'd just say need to calm down a little bit at this stage. There's still plenty of time to go before the window. Yes, Sesko will have been discussed at the Emirates. It's just a given, but plenty of other players will be discussed at the Emirates at the moment as well when it comes to the forward line. I don't know if he's right at the top of the list when it comes to Arsenal. I'm sure that will come out as we sort of go through the next few weeks and the window gets closer to being open. But he's a good player. He fits the bill in terms of what Arsenal like to do in the transfer market. He's young. He's only 20 years old. He's made a big impact at Leipzig this season. He's on 20 goals, I think, in all competitions this season. That's including his international record. So it's not just goals he scored for Leipzig, but goals he scored internationally as well. He's a talented player. It's obvious you can see that from the way he plays. Arsenal want a forward. There's no doubt they want a forward, but I'm not sure yet exactly what type of forward that is going to be, whether it's going to be an out-and-out number nine or, as I said at the start, whether it's going to be a wide forward. It might even be both. We'll have to wait and see. But my message on it is just I wouldn't be getting too excited by this picture about thinking this definitely means that Arsenal are going to make a move for Sesko. It's all up in the air at the moment. And I think right now the focus just for Arsenal certainly and for most teams is just on getting the season done and then the market will take care of itself as it opens. But look, Arsenal are going to do business. Arsenal will be active in the transfer market. They will sign the forward. I'm absolutely sure of it. But whether it be Sesko, I can't say for sure right now if that will be the case or not. Now, Popeye198209 has got in touch. Says, greetings, Charles. Great content as always. What's your take on this new spending cap approved by the Premier League clubs for 25-26 season? Is it a retrograde step to that which currently exists? It's a really interesting one. Now, if you saw, you didn't see the news, well, it was voted through by clubs yesterday, not by all clubs, but voted through unanimously by Premier League clubs, that a new sort of hard spending cap will come into effect from the 25-26 season onwards. Now, three clubs voted against it. That was Manchester United, Manchester City and Aston Villa. Chelsea abstained from the votes. Now, the details are still being worked on in terms of what this means, but sort of as things stand at the moment, clubs who are not in Europe would be allowed to spend 85% of their club revenue on squad costs. That, when I say squad costs, that's like wages for players, amortized transfer fees and also agent fees and things like that. Clubs who are in Europe, who obviously get more money because they're in Europe, would be allowed to spend a maximum of 70% on squad costs. And that's what's sort of in line with UEFA rules at the moment. So in terms of what this means, I don't know. I mean, like Manchester United voted against it because they think it might have a negative effect on the Premier League and the strength of the Premier League. It will allow rival leagues like La Liga or the Bundesliga to sort of fight back against the Premier League in terms of the power they have. If you're going to limit clubs from spending, you know, I think what's made the Premier League so great and such a brilliant business model is because of the power that they have and the spending power that they have. And if you sort of limit that, then do you potentially damage the Premier League as a product? And is that going to allow rival leagues to come back? Maybe so. But I do feel like something kind of needs to be done in terms of the spending that we see in football, because it just filters through. It filters down, you know. And I know a lot of fans won't care about what happens in the lower leagues, but clubs in lower leagues are constantly fighting against the power of the Premier League and players and the wages that you spend in the Premier League. It filters down. It allows players and agents from lower leagues to demand higher wages and things like that. And clubs who don't have the spending power of Premier League clubs or don't have the broadcast revenue that is generated by Premier League clubs, they can't live with that and they get themselves into so much trouble. We see it in clubs going out of business. So I do feel like something needs to be done on it. You know, whether this is the answer remains to be seen. And it's still, like I said, it's only been agreed in principle at the moment. One of the big things about it, though, from what I understand, is there is going to be sort of anchoring as well. And it means that all clubs would only be able to spend a maximum of the multiple of what the bottom club earns in TV revenue. And that's been brought in because, You know, if you just only spend a maximum of 85% on your revenue, your squad, and you're a rich club, then you'd always still be able to spend more than the poorer clubs. And the poorer clubs are obviously the ones who are really pushing for this because they think it's going to allow them to bridge the gap that exists between the big clubs. I hope it makes sense. Look, honestly, in my mind, it's a struggle to learn. I hope what I'm saying kind of makes sense. So anchoring is going to be brought in to sort of help with that a little bit. And it's going to be at sort of 4.5 or potentially 5% in terms of what the bottom club has spent. So that's times 4.5 and 5%. So if anchoring was in effect last season, I think the cap would have been 518 million. And that's five times what Southampton generated. So 1.3.6 million. They finished 20th. I hope it makes sense. There's a graphic here I can bring up actually that I've got from the Athletic, which is a really good one. And it shows what the estimated Premier League squad costs for 2022-23 were. And Chelsea are right up the top there with about 530 million. Man City got 501 million. United 453. Liverpool 421. Arsenal then fifth in with 326 million in terms of their squad cost. Now, under the current proposal, the spending cap will be 518 million. So obviously that wouldn't have too much of an effect on Arsenal because, you know, at the moment their squad costs, well, in 2022-23, their squad cost was 326 million. So the spending cap would have been 580 million. So, you know, we wouldn't really have an impact on Arsenal. It would have had an impact on Chelsea. Manchester City is sort of give or take. So it doesn't look like it's going to have too much of a difference or make too much of a difference, but we'll have to wait and see. And like I said, it's only been agreed in principle at the moment. So I, in terms of where I stand on it, we'll have to see what the final proposals are, but I do feel like something kind of needed to be done. And Arsenal voted in favour of this. So, you know, in principle, Arsenal agree with this being brought in, unlike Manchester City, unlike Chelsea, unlike Manchester United. Well, Chelsea abstained, but unlike Manchester United. And Aston Villa, I'm surprised by Aston Villa because I think Aston Villa would benefit quite a lot from it. Clubs like Newcastle would benefit quite a lot from it. You know, clubs like Brighton, Bournemouth, Brentford down the bottom, who have built their squad very, very well and not spent much money on it, they will massively benefit on it because they'd be able to allow to spend far more and not get themselves in trouble like they would at the moment because of the current profit and sustainability rules. So, you know, something needed to be done. The PSR rules were obviously outdated and needed changing. Whether this is the actual answer, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I'm not an accountant. I'm not great with maths, as you probably found out from the rambling I've just gone through. But I do think it's probably a good thing. Something needs to change. Something needs to be brought in. And hopefully this turns out to be a good thing.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Okay, on David Raya, I just wanted to bring up these quotes that he said after the game in the mix zone after the Spurs game. Obviously, his mistake has been highly publicised, been talked about. I spoke about it on yesterday's show. And he was speaking about it as well. And he said, look, mistakes are part of football and you have to learn from them. What Arteta said to me afterwards, just about character that I showed after the mistake. I thought I was mentally very strong and I just forgot about the mistake. I just carried on playing my game and tried to help the team as much as possible. I think I showed that in the last 20 minutes. And as I said yesterday, I think he did show that. I thought he was excellent. Really, really good, especially given the mistake, because he could have easily let that impact him and other mistakes could have come in. His head could have been fried. We've seen players lose their heads on pitches after they've made a mistake and just not been able to get them out of their mind and make other ones and then get themselves into real, real trouble. Raya didn't do that. I thought mentally he was very, very strong. and he responded very, very well. And I think he deserves an awful lot of credit for it. John has got in touch here and he says there has to be doubt about Raya. His massive mistake, which you cannot make in a game of that magnitude, has got to cast doubt about his future of Arsenal. It's imperative we sign a top, top keeper for next season because I don't see him as much better than Ramsdale. See, I don't agree with this, really. When you say you cannot make a mistake in that game, in a game of that magnitude, of course you can. Everyone can make mistakes. You don't want to, but you can make a mistake. Everyone does make mistakes in games. It's just when you're a goalkeeper and you make them, they're obviously exposed, because if you do what Raya did at the weekend, you're going to get punished because you've done it right in front of your own goal and the defenders are all over the place. It was a horrible error, but I think I give him a little bit of slack. I cut him a little bit of slack for it because you could see he didn't want to make it. He tried to stop himself from doing it, but his body just couldn't catch up with his brain. It was obvious. His brain was telling him, don't make that pass. And he was trying to stop. You could see him trying to pull his leg away and not kick the ball, but he'd already committed to it. And so he just kicked it really, really softly. And it went to Romero as well. But look, Arsenal aren't going to sign another goalkeeper in the summer. You can scrap that idea. Well, they're going to sign a goalkeeper, but it'll be a number two to replace Ramsdale if Ramsdale goes. You know, Raya will be Arsenal's number one next season. He will sign. Arsenal will spend $27 million to make that deal permanent and sign him in the summer. It's going to happen. So, you know, Arsenal won't, in response to you saying, John, it's imperative he sign a top, top keeper. It's just not, you know, they will sign a goalkeeper. Well, it's probably sign two goalkeepers. One of them will be David Raya on a permanent deal. And the other one will be to replace Aaron Ramsdale if, stroke when, Aaron Ramsdale leaves. Nostradamus 86 here says, congratulations to everyone. I've just realized I've watched and engaged in over 1,100 of your videos over the years. I can't believe I've done that amount of videos. That's mad. From Tell Me This Is, I don't know, is that your old username? Tell Me This Is, I'll Tell You This, to now Nostradamus. With the title race possibly going to the last day of the season, the added local spice of the second last game must have Man United fans in a dilemma, knowing their local rivals would set a new record of four titles in a row if United win, or get a Viltord-esque moment if they lose, with Tottenham's hopeful push for fourth possibly helping Arsenal go on and lift the trophy. Bournemouth felt first, though, and ideally get a couple extra goals if, similar to our recent first half goal tally, as City are only seven off now with a game in hand, unless Burnt and Alex Iwobi have something to say about that. It was weird. I was talking to someone earlier on today, and I was mentioning Alex Iwobi. Could he yet have a big say in the title race? Fingers crossed. In terms of the goal difference, I get it is a thing, and it probably should be in Arsenal's mind, but I think just that, you just got to win. I don't think it really. I don't think you can really think about just scoring loads and loads of goals and making sure your goal difference is right. I just think the focus has to be just on winning. And also, if Manchester City, if Arsenal are going to win this title, if goal difference is going to come into effect, then City are going to have dropped points somewhere. And so their goal difference would have taken a hit either through a defeat, or they'll just get no boost from it because it would have been a draw. So I don't think that has to be the biggest worry. I just think you've got to focus on winning. And like you said, Bournemouth are next, and Bournemouth are playing well this season. We saw what happened last season in that game at the Emirates, a dramatic Reece Nelson game. You can't take anything for granted. Arsenal have come through two really, really difficult London derbies, or could have been tricky London derbies with Chelsea and Spurs. You can't now suddenly think, oh, it's only Bournemouth this weekend, we'll breeze through that. Because if you do that, then there'll be a Southampton-like moment from the end of last season, the 3-3 draw, when, you know, everyone thought Arsenal were going to roll them over comfortably before the Manchester City game. So it's a huge moment. Yeah, Man United, that'll be interesting as well. You know, lots of talk about Tottenham potentially helping Arsenal win the title, but United are in a similar position with potentially helping Manchester City make it four titles in a row if they beat Arsenal. So it's an interesting one for both teams' local rivals over the next couple of weeks. AAMZ said, with how well Havertz is playing, do you think we'll still sign Isaac? To me, Isaac just looks like an Arsenal player, and I'd love to see him play for us. Maybe he can play left wing if needed, or is an out-and-out winger more important than a striker now? I don't think I ever said that we will sign Isaac, to be honest. I said I'd like us to sign Isaac. He'd be my first choice, 100%, but I've never said that Arsenal will sign him. I think it'd be incredibly difficult. I just think Isaac's going to stay at Newcastle. I just don't see them selling. As I said, if they're going to sell anyone this summer, it will probably end up being Bruno, as in terms of a big name sale because of his release clause. I think, and all the noises coming out of Newcastle is they're going to fight tooth and nail to keep Isak and potentially get him on a new contract. So yeah, I don't think Arsenal will sign him. I want them to. I think, as you say, I think he looks like an Arsenal player. I think it'd be absolutely perfect. In terms of Havertz and what Arsenal are going to do with a forward, as I said at the start with Cesc, I think everything's still pretty much up in the air. in terms of that. The more I watch Havertz at number nine, the more I'm watching him develop and how he's playing in big, big games. It does make me think that they have that option now. You don't really need to go out and sign another number nine. You can sign another forward, one who could play out wide, might be more important than spending all that sort of money on a physical number nine, because clearly Arsenal have a very talented player who can play in that position in the squad. But I'm not 100% sure in my mind yet in terms of what I want and what Havertz's form means for next season. Brady Pires says, that should have been the setup versus Villa. This is obviously in response to how Arsenal played against Spurs, all because he wanted Jesus to play. Had we played Jorginho instead of Jesus, we don't lose, more than likely win. Has that one change cost us the title? We should have walked this league. Yeah, it's that easy. My Spurs mate is dreading getting a result versus City to hand us the title. Spurs aren't going to get a result against Man City. I've absolutely taken that prospect of that out of my mind. It's just not going to happen. They're going to wave the white flag and wave at them as they run past and score. It's just not going to happen. Even if the players are up for it, the fans are going to be so unup for it that there's going to be no sort of atmosphere in there. It's not going to be intense. I just don't see it. If City are going to drop points, it's going to be somewhere else. It's not going to be against Spurs, in my mind. And in terms of that should have been the setup against Villa, it's easy to say that, obviously. Personally, I'd have preferred it to be that setup, but I don't think that's the reason Arsenal... The reason Arsenal didn't get points against Villa is because they didn't take their chances. They were excellent. Even with that different setup, they were excellent for 45 minutes against Villa. They just didn't score. They missed their chances. And then they were made to pay in the second half. If Trossard scores from 2 yards out, doesn't put it straight at Emi Martinez, and Arsenal go 1-0 up in that game, I think they win it. There are other chances as well. So in one way, I think that you're right, that he should have just stuck with the formation that's worked so well and the system that's worked so well. They played better in that first half against Villa than they did against Spurs, even with that system change. They just didn't take their chances. And I think that's what's ultimately going to cost Arsenal if they don't go on and win this title. But also, that's just one defeat in half a season. Now, they've dropped 5 points in half a season. That's unbelievable. That's just, you know, that's incredible, credible standards. So, if they do go on and lose this league, I still don't just look at it as that one Villa game. It's what they did in the first half of the season that was more costly in terms of just that one Villa game, whatever it was a few weeks ago now. And that's it. Thank you very much for watching. Everyone, appreciate your time as always. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again as we start to really gear up to that Bournemouth game. So until then, have a very good Tuesday, wherever you're watching or listening to this. And I'll be back to do it all over again very, very soon. Have a good one, people. Bye-bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.